Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this is a show about living forever, perhaps. Let's talk about it. And to help us understand how to live forever is a man who actually died. And he's back. And he's back in the same body that he died in, which is pretty amazing. So I want to welcome Mellon Thomas Benedict to the show. Mellon, welcome.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be on the air with you.
Thank you. It's a fascinating subject, and there's more than we can discuss in 5 hours, so we only have 30 minutes. And I want to try to bring the best out of this. But quickly, what I said about that you had died and that you're back again. And what happened to you?
Yes, in 1982, I succumbed to terminal brain cancer. I was in a hospice center, and I'd been diagnosed given about 6 to 8 months to live. It was incurable and operable at the time, and I did succumb to my disease, and I did survive my death. I had one of those what they now call a near-death experience.
So you were out in other dimensions during that time.
Yes, I was, to my great surprise, because I was someone who really didn't believe in God or afterlife or spirit or anything. I wasn't even an atheist. At least an atheist shows some interest in the subject.
So I know that a lot of your work now is based on what those experiences were outside in between this lifetime and the same lifetime, and you learned a lot, and you still are speaking with spirit.
Well, I'm speaking with what we call the light, which I believe is our source, and it's something that's bigger than our simple concepts of God, so to speak, a religious God that would have a religion and be a white man with a beard sitting in heaven. I believe the light is the source that we all come to and we all return to, and it's a magnificent thing, and it gave me my faith again in life itself.
Aren't we also the light now here?
Oh, yes. We're a direct extension of that light. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I know that this is a long time ago, so you've been working with this for decades, and you're only really starting to get known. And I know that you're a humble guy, so it's not like you're out there beating the bushes trying to be popular and famous.
Well, I don't know. Actually, my story took off, I'd say, around 1985, 86, when PMH Atwater, Phyllis Atwater, kind of discovered me in the backwaters. And she is one of the great researchers in the near-death experience and writes, has written many books on the subject. She then introduced me to people like Dr. Ken Ring of the University of Connecticut and others, and I became a favorite test subject. I'm probably one of the best known near-deathers in the world, but I'm also one that never put out a book. So I never was interested in being famous, but be that as it may, I'm still one of the more popular stories on the Internet.
Well, and I think that your story is gaining more of a foothold now because we're all so questioning existence since we are supposedly at the end of time.
Well, we're always at the end of time, and it's always the beginning of time. You know, well, what is the end of time? Every generation thought it was going to see the end of the world.
That's
you
true.
Know, but the world keeps moving on, doesn't it?
Right. So this is a it's something that you've been tested for. I understand there was a double blind study of your being with the light.
Yes, I was. When the early researchers were working with me and researching my case, they were surprised to hear that that I go to the light every day and I go to the light at will when I need to. And they were surprised by that because they'd never heard of any other near-deather that actually does that. And when I say I go to the light, I actually, my relationship with this source, the source that we all come from and are a part of, my relationship with that source is one I call a practical application of higher consciousness. In other words, I'm not a philosopher. I'm not into that sort of, you know, channeling kind of thing. When I go to the light, I ask the light for answers and inventions that can be built, tested, and proved. And that has been my relationship with the light source. And so I have numbers of patents, and I've worked for corporations, and I've worked in think tanks, and I was a part of many, many experiments in the early days on being able to retrieve answers from this light source. And tested on, I used to love being tested and being part of think tanks.
Well, you know, it is, on the intuitive level, we all can tap into greater truths. It's not just hallucination. I'm a practicing intuitive, and every day people are telling me that I'm giving them information that no one else would know. So I guess, you know, and we when we're working in that realm of higher consciousness, there is a great truth out there.
Well, it's all there. The good, the bad, and the ugly, the Akashic records or the Book of Life and all that is complete. It's everything. It's not just the good and sweet. And some people are tuned into the darker sides of this knowledge realm, and some are tuned into the lighter side. You know, there are people that are very good psychics with the police and working on murder cases. I've tried a couple of those and decided that's not what I want to do. That's not my vibration. Although I could do it. That's just something I want to work on. I'm also someone that wouldn't be a doctor either. So, you know, it just depends on what you're tuned to.
Exactly. And I love what you're tuned to, because you have messages about the present and the future and understandings about it that are just beautiful. And I love your Gaia understanding of the planet and our civilization.
Well, thanks. That was probably the greatest thing I have learned in my visitations with this light source, and that is to look at everything from a whole systems view, which I had never understood before. And that is called the Gaia perspective, G-A-I-A. And the Gaia perspective started rolling when the first astronauts got off planet Earth and took a picture of the whole Earth and saw. And when they looked at the whole Earth, they had a mystical experience. They didn't see borders. They didn't see races. They didn't see guns. They didn't see any. They saw one living planet as one living being, and that's what I call the whole systems. For me, the Gaia perspective, what the light showed me was that most of us going through life are looking through, a little straw at life. It's like you're looking through a little tube, and you may be looking at a masterwork painting, but if you're looking at it one inch at a time, some parts of the painting look like heaven, some parts look like hell, and some parts you just can't understand. But if you put it all together and look at the whole picture, then suddenly you go, it makes sense. This is a masterpiece.
Well, I listened to an interview you did with Alan Steinfeld and learned a lot about what you understand, at least in that short interview. And this Gaia approach also seems to reflect something you were told when you were thinking of how limited humanity is, how dark it is in the way we behave and our inhumanity. And the light then gave you a new perspective on it.
Absolutely. I'm someone who, although I wasn't spiritual, religious, or anything, I'm someone who believed all the ecologists going way back to the 60s that no matter what mankind did, and this was in the 60s they were saying this, but no matter what mankind did, even if we stopped then, it was too late. We were going to, humanity was going to ruin the planet one way or the other, either, you know, nuclear bombs or overgrazing or overpopulation. And I had a very negative picture of the future of mankind myself. I really couldn't see how humanity was going to work their way out of some of the problems that we have now. But when I was with the light, and that was one of the first questions I asked the light, was why is humanity so dark and doomed and evil, basically? And the light then showed me, I got this perspective, which I call the mandala of human souls. It was like the light turned into this mandala, and for a moment there, I could see into every human soul, including my own. And when I looked into the essence of the human soul, I could see no darkness and no evil whatsoever. And then as I was stunned by that revelation, the light said, oh, beautiful human. And we are considered beautiful by nature and by the light source. We're a very young species on planet Earth, and probably the youngest species on planet Earth in evolution. So we still have many lessons to learn, but we've also learned so much and accomplished so much. And that's why I go out on the road and do these seminars trying to explain this to people. I want people to focus for a few minutes on all the goodness that mankind has accomplished on this planet Earth. And that is actually staggering. You know, we, because of the media and TV and all that, we tend to focus on all the negative attributes of humanity and our history. And the goodness far outweighs whatever you may think humanity has done on the negative side, really. And I try to spend time going out and sharing this with people so that just for a few minutes, you'll just think about all the goodness that we have accomplished.
It's interesting that the news, that the media focuses on the negative. Good does not create headlines or attract audiences somehow.
It's true, and that goes back to the very first town criers. You know, the original news was really to inform you where danger was and who died and all that sort of thing. And with modern television and 24-hour news services that we have today, they almost have to manufacture news. News has now become more entertainment and not very fact-based in many cases, if you just do a little bit of checking.
Well, now let's talk about moving forward with all this good, that the potential that we have. Obviously, as you say, it's a full spectrum. And how do we diminish the negative side of it? Because it looks like this planet is self-destructing in many ways, that ecologically, economically, politically, so many ways that we're unhappy about it. And what is going to happen that will, for the most part, change people's minds?
Well, number one, we have to realize that we come from a universe that is self-correcting, self-healing, and self-organizing. And we're a direct part of that. Every atom in our body comes from this universe, from stardust, and it is all self-correcting, self-organizing. And that is the basic nature of everything in this universe, including us. And mankind has been through so many more terrible things than what we're going through now in nature and with the planet, and has survived it and always self-corrected. Our pattern, if you look at the entire pattern of humanity, it has been self-correcting and has survived every major thing that's ever happened on planet Earth.
Although our technology is so great now that perhaps, you know, machinery is surpassing our ability to make corrections for it.
No, not actually. That's not actually a problem. I used to suspect that until my visitations with the light said, don't worry about machines and artificial intelligence and all that, because of one great thing in history. You know, just to give you an example of how machines are helping us and going to help us into the future is, you know what one of the first important things machines did on planet Earth right in the beginning of the Industrial Revolution? Do you know what it did? It wasn't do-gooders. It wasn't religion that freed the slaves of the world. Up until 1807, you really had to have a lot of slaves or servants to be wealthy. In 1807, when the first machines came out and the first machines went into factories, this is what, by every understanding, this is what freed slavery. You no longer needed slaves. And in a way, in the Industrial Revolution, we have become slaves of the company, slaves of the Industrial Revolution. But everything that human beings have made, we have put spirit into. And believe me, just as machines freed the slaves of the past, our inventions of today are going to free us, because in the future, most of us don't work. That time is over in history. Our politicians can't figure it out. Our churches can't figure it out. But what is evolving is our destiny, which is not to be industrial animals, not to be slaves. This was all a part of an evolution that we're on to be free in the end. I got to see the mass potential of the future of humanity, and by mass potential, I mean, that's exactly what I mean, the mass potential. When you try to predict a certain date or a certain event, that's usually going to fail almost every time. But the mass potential of everything adds up to something very, very good. And that mass potential is that we were not created to be industrial animals for very long. In fact, when I got to see this future, I saw that people of the future look back on us now, us of the Industrial Revolution, as the giants of all of history. Our blood, our sweat, our tears, everything that we have given to this enterprise sets the future, our future generations, free.
Then what are our purposes in that freedom?
Well, this is the beauty of it all. When I asked the light, okay, what's the plan? I want to get with the plan. The light said there is no plan. There's never been a plan. We were given this universe to make of it what we will. And so this leads us to self-initiation now, which is the last initiation of humanity. Up till now, you've had all kinds of initiations and baptisms and all this stuff with gurus and churches and everything. And as good as the best gurus and as good as the best priests and popes have ever been, they can't do this next part for you. You have to do the next part yourself. There's no guru, no priest, no pope on earth that can do this for you. And so the next step is self-initiation. And number one is spiritual people have to get active in their communities. I've been lecturing to the spiritual community for, 25 years now, and they're getting less active than they ever were. And part of self-initiation is holding our leaders accountable. And once we start holding the leaders, the chief, what we call the chiefs, the priests, and the thieves accountable. And for thieves now, we could say in the modern world that would be bankers and Wall Street, correct? No one would deny that. But all through history, the main problem makers for humanity have been the kings, the priests, the churches, fundamentalism, and then the thieves. There's always thieves that come along in whatever age and try to take the advantage of the system. I mean, this happened in every culture that's ever been known on planet Earth. So your destiny is, what do you want your life to be? No one's ever going to be able to tell you that. This is why fundamentalism works for some people, is because some people need to have a plan. They say, give me any plan, I'll follow it. Well, that's not your plan. And so the self-initiation part now is to decide, what kind of a life do you want? This is what self-help's all about, and all this great movement in the modern world. There are more. If people think there are so many problems today, well, think about this also. There are more therapists, more doctors, more scientists, more problem solvers on planet Earth than ever before in the history of the world right now, and right when we need them, right?
Right. Now, one of the things that I've been looking at for the future, and I've heard in a number of places, is genetically even, we're going to see a reduction, an internal reduction in fear around the planet, and that will allow us to feel freer. What do you think of that?
It's true. Fear has compelled so many people to follow things like leaders into wars and things like that. There's no reason for war anymore. It doesn't make any sense anymore for the mass population. And secondly, I was told that the near-death experience phenomenon that's so big now and getting bigger and bigger is part of an evolutionary phase of mankind. Once you lose the fear of death, you change. It really changes you. Ask any near-deather that's had a near-death experience, and they will tell you usually the same thing. I don't fear death anymore. Because I survived my terminal condition and lived, I no longer fear death, but I respect life more than I ever have.
And some people have hypnotic regressions back in between lifetimes, so we get to see who we are when we're not in this life.
Absolutely. I really suggest hypnotic past life regression work for people. It is such a great modality to understand your full being.
It is, and it's so valuable to know that we're more than who we see ourselves in the mirror, and our limited minds, actually. Our spirit is even greater than our minds.
you know, we've reached a point in our evolution that's amazing, that is being recognized by science and philosophers now, and that is we are at a point now in our evolution where we have transcended our individual intelligence. In other words, your individual brain can't hold everything. It's impossible to know everything.
That's why we have computers.
And this is why the collective intelligence of humanity is one of the most important things to understand. This is where we have made our greatest accomplishments, is in working together, our collective intelligence, which is better than any supercomputer on planet Earth. These collective intelligence built supercomputers.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see. And to honor each person's gift, we're all here to enjoy self-initiating together.
Absolutely. The the birthright of humanity and is joy. And we have had to, if you're in a human body right now, that means that you have come up the entire evolutionary path. You have been everything this planet has ever been to be a human today. And in the natural order of things, in the natural order of this universe, this is the walk that we've taken to come into consciousness and to realize our joy. In the future, most people don't work. You aren't required to work. Of course, there'll always be the A-types and always be the busybodies, you know. But in the future, it's not about work. It's about your life. It's about you, the individual, and this is totally capable now. We've been able, actually, to free the world, technically, since 1975, when the Industrial Revolution reached this point where information took over and combined. So we're at a point in history now where, technically, and it's the first time it's ever happened in the history of the world, which is amazing to think about. Since 1975, we have technically been at a point where we can feed, clothe, comfort, educate every human on Earth without destroying the planet.
Once we get rid of the priests and the kings and the thieves.
That's true. You know, this has been a historical problem, and in many, many cultures, from the Pygmies in South America to the Hawaiians to almost every culture, at a certain point, loses faith in their governments, in their leaders, and a whole new paradigm begins. And that's what we're seeing here in America. I mean, everybody on both sides realizes there are no patriots in Congress anymore. There's no patriots in Washington, D.C. And on Wall Street, you only have wolves. There are no bears and bulls anymore, just wolves.
That's a very good way to look at it. So I want to ask you about opportunity and how we can make this a better world to live in. In notes I have for you, I'm to ask you about tricks with fish.
I've written about this and talk about it. This is some of the information I got from my visitation. So, like, tricks with fish is a kind of a play on words. Remember the old, in the Bible, there's the old story about Jesus on the mountain with a basket of a fish or two, and he fed the masses?
Sure.
He fed the whole masses with just a little bit of food.
Right.
In our modern world, we're coming into technologies now that can literally do this. You know, it used to be, it had to be back in the 18 and 1900s, it took 50% of people to be farmers to support us. That in the 20th century went down to about 30%. And now in America, it only takes about 3% of people to feed us. Not because of pesticides and fertilizers, but because of our incredible knowledge we've learned about producing food. And so we're coming to a point in the history of the world where we can feed the world with far less land and effort than it ever took before in history. And the other thing is that what you might say Jesus was doing with those fish was manifesting. And manifesting means, manifesting material, and it could be food or whatever, through the infinite sea of energy that we live in. And so I was shown that in our times, and it started in our lifetime, I'm talking about this lifetime, that science is coming up with tremendous things that look like manifestation technology. There's everything from 3D lithography now to teleporting molecules across laboratories, and the dynamic spatial reconstructor, which, you know, identifies every atom in three dimensions. And I have seen that very soon, and the basic technologies are already in labs on planet Earth, we will be able to make carrots. We'll be able to make food out of the pure essence of the electron energy of the universe that we live in. And that's technical manifestation technology. So we will be able to feed the masses.
That's great, and hopefully sooner the better.
it's here now. It's you know, it's just that these the old paradigm, you know, the old paradigm doesn't give up easy. That's the way the universe is. A star doesn't give up easy. Nothing gives up easy in the universe until the mass, the critical mass is hit, and then nothing can resist it. We're coming to critical mass now about fossil fuels and about the way our economics works and the way our government takes care of things. You know, it doesn't make sense anymore what any of these people are doing, does it?
No, and so we're starting to make more sense out of what doesn't make sense.
And we have to make the sense. We can't leave it up to the leaders anymore. We're all becoming the elders now of our generations and our tribes. And that's a funny thing. You know, I, when I was a young man, I never thought about this. I always looked up to Joseph Campbell and people like that. Now they are gone, and we are now the elders of our planet, and we must act like the elders and be responsible and be more active in our world, our schools, and our government. We must be.
Now,
this is not going to happen. You're not going to change Congress with magic.
Right. And and we can't argue it either.
You just have, you know, when people say that you know, the 99% is on this side and the 1% has everything, the truth is the 99% of us have 99% of the vote. It's the most powerful time in the history of the world.
Right, and we just...
Why are we letting our leaders and why are we letting these people get away with this stuff? It's ridiculous.
Well, a lot of the people who want to be leaders are quite distorted in their own...
Well, it's the way our system is. You almost have to be a multi-millionaire, and in the future, if this keeps going, you're going to have to be a billionaire to be president. I mean, we may look at a $1 billion campaign in the future. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not making sense. But as you say, we're moving into a time where we are going to make more sense.
And we have 99% of the power in our hands. This has never happened before in the history of the world.
Well, let's just believe in it in ourselves, and then I think there's more power in holding that truth. We only have a couple minutes left, and I'd like to find out how people can reach you. And also,
sure.
You're going to be in New York, too.
Well, no, I had to cancel because of illness in the family, but I will be back. I was going to come up in a couple of weeks, but I will be back. People can reach me at my near-death website, which is Mellon, M-E-L-L-E-N, Mellon-Thomas, that's MellonThomas.com. And then for my inventions, you know, I've become a full-time inventor since my near-death experience. For my inventions, they can go look at my most recent product for age regression, regeneration, and healing, and that's at a website called lighthealthresearch.com.
That's terrific to know that, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of visitations from this. And I, as you said, you already are pretty well known on the web. And
you know, my blessings to humanity. I love humanity. The world is really a good place. Most of us don't know mass murderers. Most of us don't know terrorists. I would venture to guess that and bet that most of the people you know, most of the people that anyone out there knows are good people. And that's the saving grace of this world.
And that's very true. And so let's spread the love of goodness. And I want to thank you for being a guest on Energy Stew. This has been such a pleasure to talk with you and to understand your journey and to be lifted by it.
Well, thank you. And let's do it again sometime.
I'd be glad to. Thank you. And I look forward to that. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew, Progressive Radio Network.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Heartriver.org is my website. 212-222-7748 is my phone number. You'll see a lot of new classes posted on the website. So please tune in. And thank you very much for listening.